Well, a global survey has now revealed that Australia is lagging behind on climate and health policy. The report from the World Federation of Public Health Associations questioned 35 nations and found that half of them lack a national plan to adequately protect the health of their citizens from the impact of climate change. The chief executive of the Climate and Health Alliance is Fiona Armstrong. She led the project working group and she's with us now. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, what are some of the ways that climate change can have an impact on our health?
Well, in multiple ways, really. I mean, one of the ones that people are most familiar with, I think, is in terms of heat wave. Heat waves, our warming planet, means that we're having much higher peak temperatures at different times of the year, and that's exposing people to temperatures that they don't have time to adapt to, and that can have serious health impacts when people are overcome by heat stress. It particularly affects people who work actively and in the outdoors. But it can also impact people who are suffering from chronic illness or who are elderly or young people.
Now, a sceptic might suggest that asthma is caused by other things as well, not specifically climate. So how do you differentiate between, you know, the climate impact on something like asthma and the non-climate impact?
Well, I mean, asthma is triggered by air pollution. So many
reactions to other things as well can trigger asthma.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly asthma is not a focus of this report. I mean, what this report is doing is identifying what the risks are to human health that are very well established in the scientific literature. And it sought to evaluate how countries are responding to that. So what policies are they putting in place to respond? So I mentioned heat waves as an example of some of the extreme weather that can cause health impacts that are climate related. So obviously very serious storms, you know, heavy rain, bushfires all carry the risk of injury and associated illness. But then there's also the spread of infectious diseases that are exacerbated by a warming planet. And then there's social and psychological impacts. Well, for example, in the Pacific, where people are seeing loss of livelihood and loss of their land due to sea level rise and the impacts that are associated with dislocation. And we see that too in Australia, where farmers are facing, you know, very severe drought and in some cases are having to walk off their land.
Now, as you rightly point out, this report that we're discussing is how authorities and indeed nations as a whole are responding to disasters. You've mentioned bushfires, floods, etc., etc. Now, authorities do respond in some way, but what is the benchmark? Are they responding, there's no doubt about that, but not to the level that you think is appropriate.
No, well, what we're seeking to do in this report is to ascertain to what extent there are really coordinated plans that understand the comprehensive and interlinked risks that are associated with the health impacts of climate change and look at how authorities are responding to those. So certainly, as you point out, some of those things might be captured under existing disaster preparedness plans. But what we're looking for is comprehensive strategies that really are making the effort to understand what the health impacts are for particular populations, to look at what the vulnerabilities are according to climate projections for those regions, and looking for strategies that are both looking to mitigate climate change, that means to reduce our contribution to it by cutting emissions, and also to implement strategies to adapt. So building low carbon and healthier buildings, moving away from fossil fuel power generation and transport systems, that kind of thing. So what we're certainly seeing in this report is that there is a lack of attention being paid to the health impacts of climate change, and almost all nations have quite a long way to go before you could say that they have a comprehensive response.
Well, how do you audit this? Because I'm assuming that within any one country there are some authorities doing it better than others. So are you taking an average of a nation not doing it to the benchmark that you want?
No, if you have a look at the report, there's quite a comprehensive survey in there. We went through asking respondent countries whether they have a climate change action plan, whether it addresses mitigation, as in emissions reduction. Does it help people to adapt? Does it address adaptation? Does it specifically address health impacts? Does it evaluate climate projections and long-term health impacts? what assessment has been made of vulnerable communities and vulnerable infrastructure, and to what extent are they getting the health sector involved? Are they investing in health research? How is the health community being engaged in this effort to ensure that our health systems are prepared to respond to the health impacts of climate change? That kind of thing. So we this was sent out via the World Federation of Public Health Associations to all of their member countries around the world, and also via the World Medical Association. So we had public health associations and medical associations in 35 nations evaluating their countries' policies and reporting back. So we have quite a comprehensive picture, and in the report there's a survey matrix which shows all the countries that have responded and how they've responded on each of those things.
Now, as you well know, we've got this global climate change conference administered by the UN in Paris later this month. Do you expect the health impacts on people to be an issue discussed there, and indeed, I suppose, how you impose it on nations to lift their game, so to speak?
Well, I think the health impacts of climate change will be an important issue at the Global Climate Talks, and it's certainly something that agencies, UN agencies such as the World Health Organization, are making a priority. And many health NGOs and indeed organizations like the World Federation of Public Health Associations are making this a priority, calling on policymakers to make sure that in those global climate negotiations, and indeed in all national responses to climate change, that the health impacts of climate change are made central. I mean, one of the words that you just used there was whether or not a recognition of health would be imposed on countries. I think one of the things that we point out in our report and is very important to understand is that actually moving to a low-carbon society is very good for health. And a very important report that was published in the International Medical Journal, The Lancet, just this year, makes the point that moving to a low-carbon economy and responding to climate change is actually a huge opportunity for human health. So, you know, cutting our emissions, improving our air quality, getting people to use more public and active transport, those are all ways that we reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but they're also ways that we can improve health.